CBS News Brief. An Amazon Web Services outage is causing major disruptions around the world. It's affecting Snapchat, Zoom, Fortnite, Roblox, Alexa, and many other favorite apps, as well as governments, universities, and companies everywhere. Secret Service agents say they've found a possible sniper's nest with a direct line of sight to President Trump's preferred airport in Florida. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
Sources tell CBS News it's located across the highway from the airport in trees more than 200 yards away. Whatever it is, officials think it's been there for months.
The administration says the U.S. has taken out another boat in the Caribbean. CBS's Willie James Inman.
It's the seventh known U.S. strike on alleged drug vessels since last month, which have killed over 30 people.
Envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner are back in Israel today to oversee a fragile ceasefire after the IDF says it hit Hamas targets following the deaths of two Israeli troops in Gaza. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hey, join me, Dan Haney, weekday mornings for all news all morning from 6 until 9 on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a more efficient way to watch TV, this might be a deal for you. You can now bundle Apple TV with Peacock. Apple TV is already ad-free, but if you pair it with Peacock Premium Plus, which is Peacock's version of ad-free, it will cost you $19.99 a month. That's barely a savings from current prices, but if you go with the ad-supported Peacock, you can get both platforms for $14.99. Apple TV right now is currently $12.99, so that's not a bad deal, if you don't mind a few ads. It was pretty much a given Taylor Swift's new album, The Life of a Showgirl, was going to break records. According to Variety, Showgirl sold 4 million units in its first week. The old record was 3.5 million units for a week, which was previously held by Adele, according to Billboard. Swift also set a record, now having the most number one solo albums, breaking a tie she held with Jay-Z and Drake. She trails only the Beatles, who hold the record for all artists with 19 number one albums. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers outlast the Cards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Arizona, where the Packers beat the Cardinals here last night, 27-23. The Packers substitute kicker, Lucas Haversick, set a new franchise record with a 61-yard field goal. Micah Parsons had three quarterback sacks in the game, the most in his career. Parsons also jumped off sides, allowing the Cardinals to stay alive, but Rashawn Gary able to force a fumble that Green Bay recovered.
The big play, the offsides by me, which is completely unacceptable. We got it right back when we came out and argued with the fumble, so that's the complimentary side. They mess up, make up for us, and we made up for them, and that's the good thing.
The road trip got off to a bad start when the team plane had to be grounded due to a mechanical problem. They didn't leave for Phoenix until 7 o'clock Saturday night.
Obviously, we already have a long, you know, plane ride, and then we were sitting basically on the terminal for about 5 or some hours.
That's Packers safety Xavier McKinney with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
I'm joined by my special guest, Tom Paulsiewicz. We dive into Donald Trump's plan to dispatch the IRS against his enemies and Magic Mike's refusal to seat the newest elected congresswoman. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
World, national, local, and state news with sports, traffic, weather, and money news. All news, all morning on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny and breezy today with highs in the low to mid 60s. For tonight, scattered showers developing, breezy with lows in the mid 40s. Still some showers around on Tuesday, especially in the afternoon. Breezy and cool, highs in the mid 50s. It's 35 at our studios.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, we will recap all the events from the weekend, including local Kings rallies across Wisconsin. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Kind of a chilly start to a Monday morning. We've got a frost advisory out there for a lot of the state of Wisconsin. Good morning, everybody. Come on in. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Yeah, probably the coolest part of the day happening right now. We've got a frost advisory in effect till at least 8 o'clock this morning. It's going to be a cloudy Monday and a little on the breezy side. So even though we may hit 66 on the thermometer, probably isn't going to feel that warm. Wind gusts could go as strong as 30 miles an hour. Tonight, we've got a possibility of rain in the forecast. Overnight hours expected to see around 42 degrees as our temperature. Tomorrow, more showers in the morning, then just kind of a cloudy Tuesday. Daytime highs tomorrow, only around 48. And again, some westerly winds up to 20, maybe even 30 miles an hour. Wednesday, cloudy skies, highs near 49. So, the wonderful weather we enjoyed over the weekend is nothing but a fading memory. We'll talk weather with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, on the way. Did you know that Wisconsin Science Festival is happening? Now, for a lot of people, they say, oh, that's something only in Madison. It's not. The Wisconsin Science Festival's goal is to try to engage with communities all across the state. We're going to give you a few more details on that you might not recognize. And, of course, as I said, talking weather with Stu Muck in just a moment. Right around the corner, Wisconsin was visited last week by Farmers for Free Trade's motorcade. They went to Westby, Wisconsin, met at Darren Von Ruden's farm. He is, of course, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Bob Boswold was there and joins us with an update next.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand PowerCore and List Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes, PowerCore and List beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Keeping Wisconsin strong.
Farmers deal with a lot, including long days, stress, and fatigue. This is your reminder to take breaks, stretch, have a snack, and hydrate your body. Avoid farm accidents by keeping yourself healthy. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how Rural Mutual supports Wisconsin farmers and prioritize safety on the farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
When you come to Wisconsin, you see a lot of barns in the hills and the valleys, and the Farmers for Free Trade caravan motorcade through the heartland is seeing a lot of that. I'm Bob Osel from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. Brian Keel is with me. Brian is the executive director of the Farmers for Free Trade. And Brian, a background on your organization. How did it get started, when and why?
Farmers for Free Trade got started in 2017, and it was a lot of the ag associations that came together to form Farmers for Free Trade. So the corn growers, milk producers, the pork producers all decided what was needed was really a voice out in the heartland, right? That there's a lot of lobbyists in D.C. We didn't need more lobbyists. What we needed was an effort to really engage farmers and engage people on the ground talking about trade. Because trade is so important for U.S. agriculture. You know, 20% of our farm revenue comes from exports. So if we're not talking about trade, we're not talking about a really important part of farming.
The motorcade started in Nebraska, it will eventually end up in Washington, D.C. What kind of information or market power or voting power do you hope to accumulate before you go to Washington and talk to congressmen and senators out there about maybe their misconception of trade, free trade, fair trade? What are you hoping to find out from the farmers around the country?
Sure. Well, as we've been traveling and as we've traveled through Wisconsin, we're talking with farmers and we're listening. And we're hearing the same story everywhere we go, which is that farmers are having a hard time right now. That input costs, whether that's fertilizer or tractor parts or farm chemicals, they're more expensive than they used to be. Part of that's because we're putting tariffs on stuff. Stuff coming into our country, we're putting a tax on it, and that's raising our prices. And then commodity prices are low. We're having a hard time selling our soybeans and our corn, and farmers are really getting squeezed in the middle of that. So we're gathering those stories, we're doing stand-up interviews, filming people, and then we're sharing those stories back with Congress.
But as you gather that information, how does that translate into trade? Because free trade means no tariffs, fair trade means no tariffs. How do you differentiate?
I always think of it as freer trade and fairer trade, right? These are things we aspire to get to. In my mind, free trade is lower tariffs. It's a more rules-based system where we have a free trade agreement so we all know what the rules of the road are. And that's really important because you want to be able to make long-term decisions. You know, if you're going to put in an ethanol plant, you want to know that you're going to have a market for that ethanol. What you don't want is all the disruption that we're seeing right now where maybe we have a market, maybe we don't. Maybe China will buy soybeans, maybe they won't. You can't run a business, you can't run a country that way. We need stability and we need certainty. And that's what free trade is really about, is a rules-based system where we all know what the rules of the road are and we can get back to business. We can stop beating each other about the head with sticks.
Now, you started this caravan or motorcade in Nebraska. You've been to many states already. You've got more to cover. You've talked with elected officials. You've talked with farmers. Is it pretty much the same story? Farmers need help?
Farmers need help, and we'll be wrapping up this tour in Washington, D.C. on November 5th. We're hoping to hold an event on the National Mall. Now, of course, government shutdown. We'll just see what happens by the time we get there. We're headed for Minnesota this weekend, and then we'll have an event in Ohio next week. So, boy, we're putting some miles on the RV.
Are you just an advisor, so to speak, to members of Congress? I know you got a lot of different groups that have been involved in the Farmers for Free Trade. Are you helping them write legislation? How much do you get involved in trade issues?
Oh, well, all we do is trade issues. So Farmers for Free Trade is a trade advocacy organization, and we're broadly pushing Congress to play a more active role in trade. You know, Congress has the power of tariffs. It's not the president who has the power of tariffs.
Somebody and better let him know that.
That's right, and Congress should be letting him know that. I mean, let's be clear. Tariffs are taxes, right? That's what we're talking about. So when we're talking about tariffs, it's a fancy word for a tax, and these tariffs represent, I would wager, the largest tax increase in American history. I mean, we've put billions and billions of dollars of taxes on the American consumer because as products are coming into the U.S., we're putting tariffs on those, and then we're paying those tariffs. So it's the consumer who's paying the tariffs, and it's the farmer who's paying the tariffs.
And as you talk to farmers, are they saying the tariffs are causing them more problems now because of the input costs, be it machinery, be it fertilizer, or is it the prices we're getting for our commodities now because of the tariffs maybe other countries are charging us to send our products to them?
It's both, right? I mean, the farmer's getting squeezed. We're making our own costs higher. Farmers are paying more for products than they used to because of tariffs. And then we're not able to sell our products because other countries are fighting back against us.
What kind of reaction have you gotten from members of Congress who hopefully will write a farm bill? We're way, way late now, but eventually might get one done. What kind of feedback are you getting from them on what they're hearing when they go to some of your meetings around the countryside?
I'd say by and large, members of Congress get it. You know, whether they'll do anything is the question, but bipartisan. I mean, we've had events with Republican members of Congress and Democrats. We started the event with Adrian Smith, a Republican from Nebraska. That was our first launch event for the Motorcade for Trade. Next weekend, we'll be in Minnesota. We'll do an event with Representative Angie Craig, a Democrat. So we're a bipartisan organization. We want all members of Congress engaged in supporting the farmer.
Farmers for Free Trade is made up of approximately how many organizations, and do you slam your membership list down on the table in front of these people in office to let them know we've got some power here, market power?
So we have probably 15 or 20 members within Farmers for Free Trade. But, you know, really, when you're speaking for the farmer, I think that's one thing that's important for farmers to recognize. There's really no more powerful political bloc in the United States than the American farmer. And if the American farmer raises their voice and says, hey, things have to change, things will change. It's just a matter of farmers need to speak up, and farmers need to say, we're getting hurt. These tariffs are hurting us. They're raising our costs. They're lowering the price for our commodities. We need something to change.
Are you going to consolidate, or can you consolidate all the messages you're hearing? I guess the bottom line is farmers everywhere are hurting, but some constructive message to get farmers so they're not hurting. What would your final message be when you get to Washington, D.C.?
Primarily, the message is let's end the trade wars, let's get back to trade, and let's open new markets. Those are really the things we need to be doing. We'll be putting together a highlight reel of farmers and what they've said, and we'll be sending that to Congress. So one of the things we're working on is a film about this motorcade tour and about the harvest listening session, and we'll have the film ready for Congress when we get to D.C. on November 5th.
How enlightening has this been for you? You're out in Wyoming. I believe you live in Wyoming.
Yep.
You came across Nebraska, Minnesota, Dakotas. You go through Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, wherever you're going to go. How enlightening it was for you to see the difference in agriculture, even just in the Midwest, and the different needs farmers have.
Well, you guys have water, so that's a big difference. No, but seriously, so I work for a national agriculture firm. I mean, my whole career has been just working with farmers all around the United States. And obviously, farming is different in different places. I mean, in the arid West, you don't have rainfall, so you're relying on irrigation.
Pointing out that farmers in different areas have different needs.
They do have different needs, but there's also common threads. I mean, you know, one thing you hear everywhere you go, I have yet to meet a farmer that doesn't want to pass their farm on, usually to their kids, sometimes it's to their neighbor, but everyone wants the farm to keep farming, right? And that's true if you're an almond grower in California or if you're a soybean grower in Wisconsin. And that's why this is so important, because we need to make sure that farmers can pass farms on to their kids.
And hopefully you're successful with the motorcade, and your message is heard in Washington.
Well, thank you so much, Bob, and appreciate all that you do. I think farm broadcasters and broadcasters in general, really important part of this story.
Brian Keel, telling the story of farmers, and it's a story that needs to be told and heard in Washington, and that's what the Motorcade for Free Trade is all about. From the northern end of the world's longest barn with Brian Keel, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The conservative majority of the U.S. Supreme Court appeared to agree October 15th with arguments that the Voting Rights Act Section 2's majority-minority voting districts conflicted with the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. A decision is expected next year. Chief Justice John Roberts signaled that the court's 2023 Milligan precedent, a very similar case, may not apply to Louisiana versus Calais. Justice Kagan later pointed out that the court rejected several similar arguments by the state of Alabama defending its discrimination. Louisiana argued that the court-mandated majority-minority districts giving minority voters an equal chance to elect the candidate of their choice puts the state in a position to discriminate against other voters. Justices Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett both voiced support for an endpoint to sunset such opportunity districts. The court's Jingles test, used to determine if a group qualifies for such a district, was also questioned by the conservative justices. In her opening argument, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund's Janae Nelson said that should the court strike down Section 2, it would be, quote, a staggering reversal of precedent that would throw maps across the country into chaos. There are 148 VRA majority-minority districts in 28 states, according to Ballotpedia. We've linked a transcript of the arguments at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio.
On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Amy Gaither, director of a new show at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. Then Eric and Adam from Ask Your Mother drop by to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
I have an inch of rain and a crispy 39 degrees in Valders this morning. Rocky, a little over a half an inch of rain, about 8/10 from Dennis in Brownsville. Frost on the car in West Allis as Scott left for work. That really is kind of the overriding factor. Such a gorgeous weekend, but a cool start to a Monday, Stu.
That's right, and there's a frost advisory, Pam, and that includes you in the Madison area down to Janesville, all the way north up to Marshfield, Wausau, Shawnee, O'Connell County, up to Marinette as well, including Green Bay. Everybody except the Lakeshore counties and those in western and northwest Wisconsin. The far north, of course, the growing season over already, unfortunately. A little more of that rain to talk about for the weekend. Milwaukee, an inch and 27 hundredths. Racine, about 84 hundredths of an inch. My friend John near Armstrong, eastern Fond du Lac counties, 3/4 of an inch. Even Madison, about 6,100 hundredths for the weekend. The rain a little behind us now, at least for a break. Low pressures out to the west, out in South Dakota, strengthening, going to head east. It's brought some rain to North Dakota, northwest Minnesota. I'd expect almost everywhere in Wisconsin we get a little rain, if not late today, like in the northwest, then into the nighttime. A tenth of an inch or two might be about the extent. A cool front follows that system through. May bring a little rain chance around later Tuesday or into Tuesday night. A bigger factor, mild ahead of that low building in, and then getting cooler, staying certainly cooler than normal on toward Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll start ramping that up a little bit toward the end of the week. But believe it or not, the center part of this week actually is going to be a little cooler than normal. Nothing drastic. We're not going to freeze out, but cooler air is going to stick around. I'll have forecast details right after
this. At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Get ready, Wisconsin. 10 days packed with discovery, fun, and excitement are coming your way. It's the Wisconsin Science Festival, October 16th through the 26th. With over 200 unique events in more than 50 counties, you'll find something for everyone. Kids, families, and lifelong learners. This year's theme, rock and roll. Dive into the music, motion, and geology with interactive events. Don't miss the fun. Visit wiscifest.org to find events near you.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt.
Of course, Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn beats the competition's yields by 7.7 bushels an acre.
All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Alrighty, Stu, give me that forecast.
All right, our Compeer Financial Ag weather forecast does include clouds building in today, even a rain chance in the west and northwest late today. Temps, though, still sounding pretty good, low to mid-60s, and the south winds get stronger. They may gust up around 30. Clouds and rain early, a little clearing later tonight. We fall into the upper 30s and low 40s. South winds become west.
Hello.
In the mid and upper 40s as we head toward Tuesday. Wednesday, now we get more of those clouds holding on, but Pam, only mid-40s to near 50. A little warmer Thursday, but rain again to wrap up the week.
Yeah, it is a surprisingly chilly start to the morning with that wind, and your squirrels must have quit running for just a minute there, or maybe you're hooked up on the same line as Amazon. They're having internet problems this morning, too.
Well, you never can tell, can you?
All right, man. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right. See ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with the weather details you may or may not want to hear on a morning like this. Talk text line is open, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Ag weather this morning brought to you by Compure Financial.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview with State Senator Jody Hebbish-Sinken on the Maggie Dawn Show.
I introduced the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Reauthorization Bill, which we've been working on for months, building community with stakeholders, with organizations around the state and other legislators across the aisle, because it is a program that is singularly popular in Wisconsin. It has a recent statewide poll has it as over 90% favorable, which in these days and times is, I can't think of anything that's comparable to that level of popularity. And unfortunately, it did not get funded in the budget that passed this early July. So it was something that we really wanted to make sure would move forward. And we introduced a bill because the Republican bill that was introduced, while in good faith, has a particular oversight mechanism which would make the program impractical and not be able to serve its function.
What's this obstacle that you spoke of, this oversight mechanism that you believe makes the Republican funding bill of the Knowles Nelson program untenable?
Essentially, the Republican bill that was introduced, again, with good intention, because remember, not one single Republican voted to reauthorize the program during the budget process. So these two Republicans, Representative Kurtz and Senator Teston, introduced a bill to try to also save the program. But what it includes is an oversight mechanism, just a fancy word for how land acquisitions will be reviewed, that would be fundamentally impractical or not workable. It would require certain land acquisitions to go through the entirety of the legislative process, through the Assembly, through the Senate, all its committees and working groups, and ultimately the governor. Sometimes that could take up to a year and a half, 2 years, or get tied up and never happen.
Indefinitely.
And that oversight mechanism is what we have worked on in our bill to replace with something that is transparent and accountable. It would be with a Knowles Nelson stewardship board that would include representatives from both parties, from both the Senate, the Assembly, the DNR, the Natural Resources Conservation Organization, the tribes, just a wonderful mix of citizens. That is really what this type of oversight should be all about anyway, something that's open, transparent, that the public can watch carefully.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. An Amazon Web Services outage is causing major disruptions around the world. It's affecting Snapchat, Zoom, Fortnite, Roblox, Alexa, and many other favorite apps, as well as governments, universities, and companies everywhere. Secret Service agents say they found a possible sniper's nest with a direct line of sight to President Trump's preferred airport in Florida. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
Sources tell CBS News it's located across the highway from the airport in trees more than 200 yards away. Whatever it is, officials think it's been there for months.
The administration says the U.S. has taken out another boat in the Caribbean. CBS's Willie James Inman.
It's the seventh known U.S. strike on alleged drug vessels since last month, which have killed over 30 people.
Envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner are back in Israel today to oversee a fragile ceasefire after the IDF says it hit Hamas targets following the deaths of two Israeli troops in Gaza. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Packers outlast the Cards
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Arizona, where the Packers beat the Cardinals here last night, 27-23. The Packers substitute kicker, Lucas Haversick, set a new franchise record with a 61-yard field goal. Micah Parsons had three quarterback sacks in the game, the most in his career. Parsons also jumped off sides, allowing the Cardinals to stay alive, but Rashawn Gary able to force a fumble that Green Bay recovered.
The big play, the offsides by me, which is completely unacceptable. We got a right back when we came out and RG with the fumble, so that's the complimentary side. They mess up, make up for us, and we made up for them, and that's the good thing.
The road trip got off to a bad start when the team plane had to be grounded due to a mechanical problem. They didn't leave for Phoenix until 7 o'clock Saturday night.
Obviously, we already have a long, you know, plane ride, and then we were sitting basically on the terminal for about 5 or some hours.
That's Packers safety Xavier McKinney with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time after a very disconcerting and busy news and sports weekend. We will sit down and discuss it all with our friend and colleague of Matt Nair on Air, Jay and Matt Nair. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
It's all real news all morning, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. with great conversation all day on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny and breezy today with highs in the low to mid 60s. For tonight, scattered showers developing, breezy with lows in the mid 40s. Still some showers around on Tuesday, especially in the afternoon, breezy and cool, highs in the mid 50s. Current temperature is 37.
Matt Nair on Air.
He is the executive director of Back 40 Action. Will Westmoreland is here. So, Will, we can't sell our soybeans. There's no market for that. But Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, says it's all great. What are you hearing from fellow farmers?
Well, Jane, we are the world's leader in one Department of Agriculture now that Donald Trump is president and Brooke Rollins is Secretary of Agriculture, and that's word salad.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
The incomparable Jane Matt Nair.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Mornings with Pat Crilo interview with Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Executive Director Sheila Everhart.
You attached as well a proclamation from the governor's office proclaiming that this is going to be Wisconsin agricultural tourism fall season. And essentially, Sheila, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's basically saying, look, there's all the usual places you could go on a weekend road trip around Wisconsin, but consider expanding your horizons and looking for opportunities to engage in agricultural tourism, right?
Yes, we're so proud. September 11th through November 2nd is Wisconsin's agricultural tourism fall season. Agricultural tourism is one of the fastest growing segments in both agriculture and tourism. It's revitalizing our rural economies, preserving farmland, allowing families to keep their farm operational for generations. But besides that, it plays a vital role in reconnecting people with agriculture. Guests want to learn where their food comes from and why stewardship of the land matters and how our farmers are essential for everyday life. So it's going to the apple orchard and getting fresh apple cider. It's going to the pumpkin patches and picking your pumpkins. It's attending a class on a farm, maybe learn to have some heritage cooking classes and maybe making some sourdough bread. It's tasting farm fresh ice cream made on a farm like Sassy Cow Creamery. It's tasting fresh cheese curds at the Phelps Dairy Farm. It's going out and experiencing life on a farm and being disconnected from your tablet. But we also have, Pat, what is really cool is the Wisconsin Maize Challenge the Wisconsin Agricultural Maize Challenge, because we want you to get out in a cornfield and we want you to get lost, but then find your way out of that cornfield. So we're having a contest. We invite you to visit a family farm, experience a corn maze, use your navigational skills, take a picture of your visit, post it to Facebook or Instagram with the hashtag WATA Maze, W-A-T-A Maze, and then we will have weekly winners of that WATA Maze Challenge.
It comes down to that diversification where not every farmer is going to be doing, you know, any one of these things, but the ones who want to, the opportunities are there.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
FM 1670 AM.
The Zone.
Did you know that Wisconsin Science Fest is happening? And it's not just a Southern Wisconsin kind of thing. It's actually a campaign to try to get all Wisconsinites involved. Ben Jarbo is going to join us in a moment with a couple things you may not know about Wisconsin Science Fest. Welcome back, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Aid PM Yankee. This is the Midwest Farm Report. On this, the 20th day of October. Where is the month going, huh? On this day, back in 1968, Jacqueline Kennedy marries Aristotle Onassis. Remember, she was trying to protect her kids, basically left the United States to go live with him on his island. That's what happened on this day, 1968. On this day, 1973, the Sydney Opera House opens its doors. If you've ever been there, you know it's a beautiful place to enjoy music or just the scenery. Got a couple happy birthdays for you this morning. Happy birthday to actor, producer, director John Krasinski. I know him from The Office, 46 years young today. And Snoop Dogg, he turns 54 today. And now you know. I mentioned it earlier, Wisconsin Science Fest is going on now all around the state of Wisconsin. And the emphasis is all around the state. Ben Jarbo has got some details you may not know about Wisconsin Science Fest.
Wisconsin Science Fest is here, and this year looks at the similarities between art and science. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and although these don't necessarily seem related, George Sucrose, the executive director of the Wisconsin Arts Board, says they actually go hand in hand. He's here to give the backstory of how they work together, as well as their hopes for this year's festival.
So, the Arts Board has been around since 1973. As the state public entity in support of the arts. So we do that through grants. We do that through providing technical assistance to communities and artists and arts organizations. We provide information and we provide connection. And when we say what areas we work in, we use what we call the four C's: creativity, culture, community, and commerce. And it is actually the first C that brings us to the Wisconsin Science Festival. I was reading the New York Times one day, and I came across an article about the World Science Festival that takes place in New York. And I thought to myself, wouldn't this be really interesting if something like this happened at the UW as the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery was opening? And I shot the article to as many people as I knew on campus. And as you might guess, similar kinds of conversations had been going on. So it hit fertile soil. And then director of the Institute, Town Center, Laura Heisler, called together a group of people, and we began meeting about creating what we call the Wisconsin Science Festival. You know, in our case, it was exciting to think about explaining the arts through the sciences and explaining the sciences through the arts. And all of our work in creativity at that point, we were working with somebody you may have heard of. His name is Sir Ken Robinson, who is since passed away. But Sir Ken was all about imagination, creativity, and innovation. And in addition to being a co-founder of the Science Festival, we were also, the Arts Board was also a founding member of Sir Ken's group, which is called the National Creativity Network, which again is about imagination, creativity, and innovation in education, culture, and commerce. Yeah. And as you might guess, it's always a really exciting thing to have a conversation with people about the arts and sciences, because of course the artists think, well, we own creativity. And of course we get to explain to them that while we are really important in creativity, there are all kinds of different forms of creativity. And then we also get to flip that hat around and say to scientists and others, well, you may have thought about all that kind of STEM creativity, but let's add that A in there and let's think about STEAM.
Yeah, and if we look at the Wisconsin Science Festival, what are some of those things? What is that correlation? I know you're mentioning arts and sciences, and they both have their own thought process there, but what's the importance of really bringing them together for the state?
What I think the Science Festival does so well, and it's part of the logo of the festival, it's Curiosity Unleashed. So having the opportunity to bring creative minds, both scientific and artistic, together to inspire one another and to inspire the young people who come to the Institute for Discovery or to any of the programming across the state, to make them think about things in a different way, to find new knowledge, and to think about how the arts and sciences can be placed together. You know, I think we all have something in our pockets, or most of us have, I think, something in our pockets, which is our cell phones, which allow us to create in ways that, you know, we couldn't have begun to think about in the past. And yet, by the same token, we also have a piece of technology on our desks, pencils and crayons and pens, et cetera. So technology in that form as well. So it really is important, both of those things. Plus, it's important for policymakers to understand that if our communities are going to thrive, creative people need to be in connection with one another. And so that happens through artistically and scientifically creative people coming into contact with one another, learning about what they're doing, and inspiring new ways of thinking, new ways forward.
George Sucrose says that this festival is a great way to see how our quote-unquote flyover state is able to create some great things through science and art. And that doesn't just go for that art. It also goes for agriculture, whether it be finding new technologies, new vaccines for various diseases, or many, many other things. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand PowerCore and List Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes, PowerCore and List beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Dairy pumps that were designed more than 50 years ago do not meet today's large dairy farm requirements. Bopeller pumps by McFinn Technologies were born and patented this century. With a unique and innovative design that ensures gentle, low shear pumping, along with efficient, high capacity, and long seal life. Bopeller pumps for all your applications will ensure your dairy is operating with 21st century technology. Bopeller is American innovation. Contact your dealer today.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Well, despite the cooler temperatures we are experiencing this week, we may not be out of the woods yet with mosquitoes. On Friday, the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection confirmed the first case of eastern equine encephalitis that we've had this year. 5-month-old colt in Marathon County. Last year, Wisconsin documented 10 cases of Eastern equine encephalitis. Now, remember, Eastern equine encephalitis and West Nile virus are something that basically attacks the brain of the horse. Horses are often found down and unable to get up. Eastern equine encephalitis is fatal in most horses that show those kinds of signs. So again, equine owners, you horse owners, are suggested to contact your veterinarians and make sure that you're up to date on all of the vaccinations your animal should have. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning, well, we're holding firm at least for right now. In fact, soybeans, a little bit of a surge. Right now, December corn's up a penny at 424. The November soybeans are up a dime at 1029. July wheat up 2 cents right now at 543 a bushel. Barrel cheese on Friday was unchanged at 177. 40-pound block cheese, 0.75 cents stronger, 177.5. Double A butter dropped 3.25 cents to 159.5. This morning, the November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 25 cents, 1690. December's up a nickel at 1656 a hundredweight. Farm organizations and elected officials paying attention to the Affordable Care Act. That is something that a lot of farm families depend on to make sure their families are insured. But it is at risk of being lost. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin held a roundtable discussion last week with the Wisconsin Farmers Union and its members. One of those is Danielle Envick. She is the executive director of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and she says she's worried about what farm families would turn to if the Affordable Care Act went away.
Rising costs are everywhere in farming right now. We definitely don't need to see them at a level that can impact families and their health. Farming income right now is already so unpredictable with what's going on with tariffs. You start looking at what we've got going on with soybean deals in South America, and it's a wild roller coaster that we're on. Even a few $100 a month more for premiums are going to tip the balance from barely affordable to unattainable. And what I'm worried about is farm families not being covered in the long run here.
Danielle Envick with the Wisconsin Farmers Union estimates that there's about 270,000 Wisconsinites that would see their health care premiums double if tax incentives don't stay in place. Stephanie Hoff joining us next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Federal budget cuts mean bad news for Wisconsin's trout populations. That's because the budget slashes funding for the USGS Ecosystem Mission Area. It's the primary program that works to control invasive sea lampreys. The parasitic fish have caused billions of dollars in damage to Great Lakes fisheries, but that trend had been reversing in recent years thanks to work and research that is now being dismantled. Leaves are falling, and now is a great time to rake them up, put them in bags, and have them trucked off to the landfill. Actually, that's not so great for the environment. Turns out fallen leaves are where pollinators like to spend the winter, and they can also help fertilize your lawn. UW Extension experts say most of the time, it's best just to leave the leaves where they fall. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Hey, it's Dan Haney. Join me weekday mornings between 6 and 9 as 540 WAUK presents All News All Morning. We start the day with everything you need to feel informed. Stuart J. Waddles has Milwaukee and local news 3 times an hour, followed by Leslie Lotto from the Civic Media State News Desk, CBS News, Mike Lemons in sports, traffic and weather, money and market updates. Start your morning drive with All News All Morning on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, author Laura Bird will tell us about not one, but two upcoming book festivals around Wisconsin, what they're about, and why you might like to check one out.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
District 19 on the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin board. While District 19 encompasses two Wisconsin counties, the work he does on the board spans countries. He says internationally, Wisconsin is renowned for its dairy products thanks to the work put in by checkoff dollars.
DFW has changed its focus to more heavily push toward those international markets over the last several years, and we've seen great results from that. And one of the things that often surprises international consumers is the quality of our cheeses and our specialty, especially our specialty cheeses. They'll come and say, oh, well, I've had American cheese before, and it was pretty mundane. And we say, hey, you haven't had Wisconsin cheese recently, and by getting that to them, we're changing a lot of perceptions in that international marketplace.
Wisconsin cheese is sold in over 50 countries, which is impressive. Mark, what are some of the strategies to get the word out? What does the checkoff do to spread the word about Wisconsin's quality products?
One of the things that is even more important for international is the personal connections. It's a long haul to establish over international markets. And so you're not going to just show up on somebody's doorstep and have them, place an order. It takes continued dialogue. It certainly takes tasting our product. So one of the tactics that we've used is attending some food shows and trade shows in international. We had staff that have just recently, and board members that just recently returned from the world's largest food show in Cologne, Germany. And there's thousands of vendors at this show. There's a couple hundred thousand attendees. So this is a massive 5-day trade show. What they did is actually took Wisconsin cheese. They represented some cheese companies. They had cheese on display. They had a catchy booth, and they just got people to taste some of our cheeses, and in doing so, we're able to continue that dialogue, build relationships. And one of the interesting perceptions was, historically, U.S. dairy would only sell internationally when we had a surplus. And so what Wisconsin dairy and Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is doing is saying, no, we're not just here to get rid of surplus product. We're here to sell you our everyday world-class cheese and cheeses that will meet or exceed your expectations and certainly compete or surpass the quality of any European cheeses at the same time.
We've got more than 30 Wisconsin cheesemakers exporting their products overseas, but why is that important to a Wisconsin dairy farmer?
Well, we know a lot about our cheese and enjoy eating cheese here in Wisconsin. We're just a very small portion of the world. Only 4% of the world's population lives in the United States. And so what that leaves is basically the rest of the world who are potential customers, who have food needs. They have needs for the nutrition of our dairy products. They also have, in some of those places, have experience with eating the quality of American dairy. And so by us getting Wisconsin cheese into, again, some of those markets, we have a lot of people that are pleasantly surprised and say, hey, this is a product that I enjoy, that's of ultra high quality, and I can put this into my, whether it be a retailer or a chef, they can find uses for it. And so it's a big world out there. And obviously what we do here is we can produce a lot of milk and a lot of cheese and a lot of other dairy products. We can't consume all those. 90% of our milk in Wisconsin is converted into cheese, and 90% of that cheese leaves the state. And certainly it can go into other countries as well.
Wisconsin's export success doesn't go unnoticed. Mark, I understand it's been recognized by the governor, no less.
Well, yes. And in fact, the governor's export award was awarded to Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. And if I'm not mistaken, we were the first nonprofit to ever receive that award. And so it shows the stakeholders in Wisconsin dairy, the dairy farmers who contribute to the checkoff, it shows that their investment is being leveraged right along as heavily and as well and as effectively as a lot of private companies are doing for their own products. So the stakeholders in our industry can rest assured that our wonderful Wisconsin dairy products are being represented at the highest level and exported. And exports have grown threefold since 2022. So we're just at the tip of the iceberg here of what really is going to happen going forward with exporting our wonderful Wisconsin dairy products.
Wisconsin's dairy pride doesn't stop at our state line. It's recognized around the world, thanks in part to the work of farmers like Mark Crave and the Checkoff program that helps promote our products globally. Learn more at wisconsindairy.org. That's it for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and we'll catch you again next month.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
A livestock industry advocate talks about biosecurity today on Farm to Fork. As you've probably heard by now, the 12 agricultural safety and health centers around the country did receive a renewal of their federal funding support and will not be shutting down. Many of those centers had projects in progress, and those will now be able to continue. Also continuing the Ag Safety and Health Campaign on Farm to Fork. To learn how you can assist with that, visit the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com. A farm can be a wonderful place to grow up, but it can also be a dangerous place. Statistically, a child dies on a farm every 3 days somewhere in America. That needs to be fixed. Do whatever you can to make sure your kids keep safety top of mind, working or playing. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork, through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Jackie McClaskey says biosecurity needs to be at or near the top of the priority list for agriculture. She's the CEO and president of the American Royal, a Kansas City-based champion for food and agriculture.
We need to spend time really talking through what are the right policy approaches and the policy decisions. So when we are faced with a crisis or a disease outbreak or whatever it might be, that we know exactly what we're going to do. And I think that New World Screwworm is a perfect example of that. I mean, we shut our borders, but we've got different segments of the industry saying it's time to reopen. Others saying, no, no, keep them shut. And as we await whether or not we're going to find it in the U.S., then that's going to start to become a state issue as well.
McClaskey says industry players will need to help get policymakers to understand the importance of biosecurity.
Obviously, producers need to be at the forefront, but they need to be supported by people who understand the science and the economics, our animal health professionals at the state level, our state government leaders, USDA, of course. All of those folks need to be at the table and help those policymakers understand the alternatives and consequences of those different choices and be able to make decisions that are going to be the best for the industry and the people the industry serves.
Jackie McClaskey of the American Royal. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
I'm joined by my special guest, Tom Paulsiewicz. We dive into Donald Trump's plan to dispatch the IRS against his enemies and Magic Mike's refusal to seat the newest elected congresswoman. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day. compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We're a Civic Media station.
540 WAUK, Jackson, Milwaukee.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Alexa not responding this morning? Tried to book an airline flight and get bupkis? There's a global Amazon shutdown.
The outage affects Amazon Web Services. It provides remote computing services to governments, schools, businesses around the world. Snapchat, Roblox, Fortnite, the online broker Robinhood, and the McDonald's app are among the most commonly used services that depend on Amazon. The company says the problem was with services in the eastern U.S. Engineers are trying to figure out what went wrong and why, but as of about 5:30 Eastern time, Amazon says it's seen significant signs of recovery. Most requests should now be succeeding. Peter King, CBS News.
Special envoy Steve Witkoff and the president's son-in-law Jared Kushner are back in Israel this morning to oversee a fragile ceasefire in Gaza. Over the weekend, Israel hit multiple targets.